The spirit of performance is what defines Acura. And now, it's electric. Introducing the ZDX, Acura's most powerful SUV yet. Crafted using the same formula that brought them electrified supercars and multiple IMSA championships, the ZDX has track-tested performance that packs an energy all its own. Unlock the energy and order yours at Acura.com.
All right, good evening and welcome to the Hoosier Huddle podcast. I'm Sammy Jacobs. Along with me is TJ Inman. And we have two special guests here as well, Kim and Mark Helinski from Tyler Talks. If you don't know their story, you should. Their son, Tyler, unfortunately was a victim of suicide. They're going around and bringing awareness to mental health in college football. So welcome in Mark and Kim, and thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
So let's start with Tyler's story. For IU fans, they might not know, we don't watch Pac-12 football that much, but just bring us up to speed on Tyler's story and you know, how this all started.
Sure. Well, probably the IU fans were in bed when most of the Pac-12 games happened, right? But they were exciting ones. You should have tuned in for some of them. Tyler played in the Pac-12. He was a quarterback at Washington State University. He was the middle son of our three sons who all one still is at Northwestern, college football athletes, all quarterbacks. And sadly, we lost Tyler in January of 2018 to suicide. We had no idea that he was struggling. He was just a sweet, fun, kind kid who really loved his sport, loved his teammates, loved his family, his coaches, and his friends. And he was gone one day. And we thought, you know, if we had no idea that Tyler was struggling, how many other student athletes are out there who are struggling and just don't know how to reach out for help? Are afraid to reach out for help. And we didn't want another student athlete to go through the pain that Tyler may have been going through, or another family to really deal with what we are dealing with since we've lost our son. It's coming up on 5 years here in January, and every day is a struggle without him. And so we developed, started this foundation, Helinski's Hope. And the mission really is three. That was Tyler's jersey number at Washington State. It's threefold. It's to raise awareness. We need to talk about our mental health, right? We talk about our physical health. We really don't do that, especially student athletes. We need to beat down that stigma, which runs so strong in the athletic community, right? We're taught from a young age, if you're an athlete, you grind through your pain, you know, and you have to really sometimes. But if you are suffering or struggling with your mental health, you have to reach out for help. And the third part of our mission really is to provide support for our student athletes and their mental health. And we do that in a number of ways, but really you referenced it earlier with, you know, the Tyler Talk, and that's what we do. And that's what we did when we came to IU. We go to universities around the country. We're up to, I think, 150, and we share Tyler's story, what happened to him. We put a face, you know, on mental illness, a face that you wouldn't even think to associate with mental illness. And we do that really, as I stressed earlier, in the hopes that we just don't lose anyone else. You know, our athletes, they mean so much to us. We see Tyler in them, really, when we do these Tyler Talks around the country. And we're here for them. We support them. We love them. We understand them. And this is our mission. This is our work for the rest of our lives.
It's a really great mission and a really important thing going on. I teach elementary school, and it's mental health of both the students and the teachers coming off of the pandemic, where, you know, students really struggled being isolated and all that stuff. And I'm so happy that stigma is starting to crumble, and you see it start where, you know, kids come up, you can't cry, you can't do this, you're a wimp if you cry. No, it's okay to show emotions. It's okay, you know, if you're upset to cry or to talk about it, or, you know, wait till you're ready and things like that. So I appreciate you going around the country and sharing your story, because it is something that, you know, it's not, hey, just shove it down and get on with your life like the old days. It's let's talk about it. Let's fix it. And let's make sure everybody's, you know, not just happy, but, you know, well off mentally as well. TJ, did you have any questions for the Helinskis?
Yeah. What are, as you've gone around to different universities and spoken to administrations, spoken to student athletes, what are some barriers that you feel are set up within administrations or within athletics that make it difficult for student athletes to feel comfortable talking about mental health? And what are some solutions that you feel can be put in place relatively easily to help student athletes overcome those barriers?
That's a big loaded question. That's a great question. It's difficult, you know, at the collegiate level, we get 17 to 25 year old men and women who are often, you know, away from home for the first time, playing a sport at a lot, you know, they were the best in high school, probably in their sport or one of them, but really it goes back to, you know, what Sammy's doing every day, teaching physical education. We have to incorporate mental health awareness and discussion and education at a much younger level, because by the time they get to college, we really see this as a crisis and a firefight. And what the universities have to sort of do is sort of make up for all of that, right? And one of the, you know, the single biggest way is to create budgets and have the proper funding to support the number of student athletes that they have on campus. And, you know, you talk about sports, I'm sure, on the show so much. You know, it's a week or two doesn't go by where we see another team that's figured out how to hire two or three FTEs for NIL issues, you know, to support their recruiting. There's transfer portal. Obviously there's a tremendous amount of interest in the transfer portal. And so investigating that and recruiting out of that is very different than high school. And so there's a lot of funds available for these different things. And we think that competes a little bit, or in some cases can compete with the mental health resources that those schools absolutely need. And I think, you know, we were asked another time, if we had a magic wand, you know, what would you do right now? And I think, you know, it goes back to the same thing. The leadership at the school, by the way they talk about mental health and mental illness, you know, for example, Kim and I, we don't say committed suicide for this age group anymore, right? You don't commit cancer, you don't commit ALS, you don't commit any of these diseases. And it comes with the stigma, right? It was illegal before 1961 to die by suicide in this country. And so there's a lot of pressure on that. And so by the time we see our, you know, the student athletes that we're talking to, there's not a lot of tools for them or that they brought with them to deal with this. And so campuses have done a great job in many cases in making those available. Our student athletes are a little bit unique though, right? Because they're afraid of losing playing time. They're afraid of appearing weak. You know, men and women both, by the way, this isn't just football, obviously. We've got 20 plus sports on these university campuses. And so I think it's incredibly important for us to sort of sit back, you know, take that in a little bit and understand where we're at. And in the collegiate level, we're trying to prevent suicide. We're trying to prevent the suffering student from doing this alone, because we can treat mental illnesses well, and depression, anxiety, bipolar, we're getting better at this. Why does that carry any additional weight? If you went and told your coach that you were diagnosed with cancer, you would have the biggest support group immediately supporting you, cheering you on, you know, telling you that things are going to be okay and helping you find those resources. If you believe that mental illnesses are real, and we do, then you have to think of it the same way. So I don't know if that answers the question. I think that, you know, I'm trying to position it right, that it's a long run up to this. And I think many of the schools are doing, you know, their very best.
You guys were in Bloomington this week at IU. Take us through what you did. Did you meet with the football team and talk with them? Did you talk with students on campus? Just take us through your experience at IU.
Sure. We were there, I think it was actually a few weeks ago. And we mostly, it was the freshman student athletes that were there. There were a few upperclassmen that came in too. And I like that they focus on, you know, the freshmen. And I can tell you why. That transition, you know, coming from home, coming from, mm-hmm. you know, this high school where you're at the top of your game, right? And then maybe you're this little fish in a gigantic big pond. To listen, you know, to Tyler's story, really to our journey, what we've gone through, I think it impacts them in a different way, maybe than an upperclassman. Not to say that the upperclassmen don't need to hear the story too, but I think, you know, having the freshmen listen and really relating to Tyler's story is important. We look out, you know, to these beautiful, you know, handsome men and women who play their sport, and they're so proud to be at IU, and they're so grateful to be there as well. But, you know, they worry about their playing time. You know, they miss home, they miss their family. There's so much that goes into coming to a campus in the fall and playing the sport, you know, for a college that you love. We are grateful to be there. You know, I can tell you that we're thankful that IU is part of College Football and Student Athlete Mental Health Week. And Mark said it earlier, there's what, 20 plus sports on every single campus or most across the country. So when we say College Football Mental Health Week, here's what we do. We prepare these boxes, I call them boxes of hope, and we send out helmet decals to the schools, lapel pins so the coaches can wear them, cheer ribbon for the cheerleaders, headbands for the female athletes, our Helinski's Hope wristbands. And we do that because we want all of our student athletes to know that we care about them, that we see them, we appreciate them, we understand their grind, and we want them to take care of their mental health as well as their physical health.
And that's not that unusual. You know, we've met with just the football team by themselves. We've met with every single student athlete on campus. In the case of IU, we were, as Kim sort of mentioned, it was a little bit of a unique experience because they believe it was mandatory for the freshmen to attend. And so we'll take it any way we can get it. You know, we'll speak to 10, we'll speak to 100, as many, you know, as we're able to do. And in that particular case, I think Kim was sort of mentioning it earlier on, the interest level from the students and from the student paper and from the administration that made this happen. We're just super thankful for that opportunity. And I think, you know, over a period of time, there's a myriad of ways to help our student athletes. Kim and I coming and telling Tyler's story is one. There's professional athletes and ex-athletes that have tremendous stories of hope. They've suffered and they've managed through it, you know, or continuing to manage. And that's certainly a story of hope. Where Tyler's story is different, and what we tried to get across at IU and others, is that in our case, Tyler didn't ask for help. He didn't tell anyone he was struggling. And to this day, we don't know why he's gone, right? I mean, it's as brutal as that. There's no letter at the end that says, I had to go because of this. This is what was bugging me. We went through his phones, his laptop, his iPad. There's no clear indicator when this started. In fact, the only information about Tyler and his struggle really happened a couple hours before he passed, when he looked up how to take his own life with an AR-15. And which he happened upon with friends a couple days before that. And so I don't want to overstate it, because I think, you know, we got to be really careful here, but we're talking, this is a life and death issue for some kids on campus. And so to get them the information they need, to get them the resources, to give them permission, which they don't need from us, to go ask for help, I think it's the least we can do.
Yeah, it's such a powerful message. And for our fans, we'll share it on social media. The ribbon that you're talking about, it's a green ribbon with a heart on the bow of it, and Tyler's number 3 on the bottom right. I really hope that IU is wearing it on their helmet on Saturday. There's also, you know, holding up the number 3 at the first play of the third quarter, and some PSAs on the board as well. just a tremendously powerful story from you guys. How can our listeners help you guys out to share your stories? I know there's a shop online that has some really cool stuff. I think I'm going to go get that 3/4 sleeve shirt and maybe a hoodie as well. But how else can our listeners help you share Tyler's story?
You know, I mean, you can always donate to Helensky's Hope, and they can find our website. But really what matters to us is that they keep talking. You know, you share Tyler's story with the person, you know, on your left, the person on your right. And maybe that person really needs to hear it, because you really don't know what someone is going through and what struggles they have. And I do think it's so important that we're kind, right? That we reach out to each other. And I just think that keeping this conversation going is truly what matters.
Yeah. And that's not to say, Sammy, we'd love them to follow us on social media, of course. And the stories that we share on those sites, I think, are important and keep the conversation going. We know this is not something you can do 24 hours a day at home. We encourage our parents, you know, we get a lot of parents that ask us, you know, what can we do to help ourselves, help our family? And I think Kim's right. And we've been saying the same thing at that age, you know, sort of pre-high school, high school, it's okay to have these conversations. Educate yourself. If you don't understand what mental illnesses are out there, what they consist of, how they're treated, educate yourself. And we spend a lot of time and energy and resources building Game Plan, which is a collegiate version of the facilitator guide for campus experts to partake in. And then we just recently released a 6 volume, which is really 20 to 30 minutes of individual education. So what's it like? You know, we hear from our student athletes, they don't even know what it's like to go to a therapy appointment. You know, is it still, do we lay on a couch? Is that how it, you know, we look straight up? Are we allowed to talk? Do we have to do all that? All of those things. So this education theme, if you will, can be done by all. And Helensky's Hope is one of many, I think, that are going in that direction and trying to provide the necessary resources. But educate yourself, become familiar with the topic. And if you need to talk about this in a way that's less threatening, use Tyler's story, mention that you heard it on the podcast, right? And have a conversation.
Yeah, and there's a new suicide prevention hotline, I believe. Is it 883?
988. You can text or call it, and it's for ease, right? It's, you know, the 800 number is a longer number, and actually we have wristbands that we have sent all over the world, actually, and on the inside of those wristbands we always have the 800 number. Now we're starting to put the 988 number, which you can text or you can call if you're in a crisis, or actually call 911. You know, we don't want to lose another person. It's a tragedy. And at such a young age, they don't know what to do. But I can tell you this, suicide is not the answer. You know, it's really not.
It's Helensky's Hope, a fantastic organization. Some real powerful stuff from Mark and Kim Helensky. We're looking forward to seeing Tyler's ribbon on the helmets on Saturday and helping spread that message as well. I appreciate your time. Good luck to Northwestern this weekend as well. Enjoy Evanston. It's beautiful this time of year. Yes. And anytime you want to come on the podcast and share your message again with updates and stuff like that, you're more than welcome. And yeah, anytime there's news on your organization, we'd love to put it out there as well.
Awesome. We appreciate that, Sammy. Thanks, TJ. You guys have a great weekend.
Okay. Have a good show. Thank you, guys.
All right, thanks. That was Mark and Kim Helensky. Just an incredibly powerful story. Their son, Tyler, died from suicide 5 years ago. It is Mental Health Week in college football this week. IU is taking part in that, and we hope to see all the messages out there and hope they get through to the person who needs that. But TJ, final thoughts on that before we switch gears into our Michigan pregame.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, if you know, if anybody is listening to this and is feeling depression is feeling like they are considering taking their life, please, please get yourself help and take the words of the Helinskis to heart. And it's okay to talk about it. It's encouraged to talk about it. That is the most important message that we are going to have on this podcast this season. And the rest of the stuff that we talk about is meaningless compared to that message and the work that they are doing. So a big thank you to the Helinskis for coming on and continuing to spread their message. And hopefully, you know, that interview and their message helps at least one person that's out there. It's really important, and I hope that people take it to heart.